Veio ao chame. Jenna Elzer. Bishop Rua. Nicholas Brennan.
Present.
V. Candelaria. Jennifer Cardenas.
Here.
Paul Caruso.
Here.
Cameron Chappell. Jason Chiburco.
Present.
Alessandra Coogan. Yisiko
Here.
She's online.
I saw her, yeah. Okay, that's what you had working. Kelly Ellis. Devin Freeman. Emma Rose Gallant. Andy Garcia Ortiz. Irene Katini.
Present.
Malta Hassler. Diane Wong, Mac James, Yusuf Khalid, Claire King,
Present.
Zongyan Liu,
Present.
Xander Lynch,
Present.
Clarice Mefford, Tian Nguyen.
Present.
Marilise Ortiz. Raina Prude.
Present.
Katie Rohrbaugh. Team Set. Britain. Ian Smith. Jeffrey Wan. Yuqing Wu,
Present.
Hong Ji Zhang, Seventeen.
Thank you, Eric. All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we have quite a few items to get through, though no measures requiring consent for today. We have three presentations, including Cornell Graduate Student United, who I'll introduce shortly. We have a presentation from STEAM on appendices A and B, which will be laid on the table today. And then we have a presentation from Annifer, who's chairing our election commission for this year. So without further ado, we'll move into approval of the March 9th meeting minutes in the meeting packet. Give a few minutes to review, and I'll entertain any motions.
Motion.
If it's the open forum, part C, where I suppose we said that a preparation committee looking to renewing data. I think I said we're looking into renewing the appendix, not renewing the data. Because so yeah, substitute data with the data. So there's a motion to amend renewing data to renewing appendices A and B. Without objection, that'll be corrected to the minute. Second.
For the reports of officers and really the updates, Mitch and I. Maybe I should mention as well. IGPS, not the IGS.
Sorry, I can't hear.
Instead of IGSA, should be IGPS.
Thank you. We can rule that as clerical and have that corrected. Thank you. All right, entertaining any motions pursuant to the March 9th meeting minutes? Jason?
No, motion that we approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the meeting minutes by unanimous consent. Are there any objections? Month 25. So that objection, the minutes are adopted. This time we'll move into the reports of committees and officers, beginning with executive committee.
So elections are coming up after spring break, as I mentioned in the last meeting, and I will go through my presentation just so you guys get a little more detail on what it's going to be like this year.
Jennifer, any questions for executive committee? Seeing none, we'll move to operations and staffing committee. And oh, sure. Sorry, Senator. We're going to go to appropriation.
Yeah. Same old working on the state and the fee updates and also the FC guidelines. And main focus is still on getting the grant funds out.
All right. Team, any questions for appropriation? Seeing none, we'll move to communication. Nothing to report. Thank you, Andy. Moving back to operations and staffing, Senator.
I just want to emphasize about elections. So elections are not just for the exec board positions, but also for all of the voting member positions as well. It's a great time to get involved if you've been coming to these meetings, if you are already part of an organization that needs to send a member and would like to participate a little more deeply. It's a great way to get involved. We love to have new people. And all of our exec and almost all of our exec board is leaving. So please, please do it.
All right. Thank you, Xander. Any questions for operations and staffing? Seeing none, we'll move down to finance commission.
Nothing new, just FC guidelines. We have a meeting on that tomorrow.
Thank you, Claire. Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move over to Student Advocacy Committee. Irene?
Hello, everyone. Our town hall is happening this week on the 25th at the barn. And this is very fun and exciting because it's been a time in the making. And so please join us at 6 p.m. And we should end around 7:30. This is an opportunity to ask the GPSA any questions that you have, one-on-one, a Q&A of sorts. If you have the opportunity to fill out that anonymous kind of form that was sent out, Qualtrics form, on our communique, and don't want to let it be known that you are having certain concerns or don't want whatever questions or comments to be attached to your name, that's also fine. We're going to be utilizing that form to have discussions around whatever said topics there may be. That's all that I have for updates. Yes, Jason.
I am told there may be food and or drinks at this event. Is this true?
I mean, it is the barn, so there will be food and drinks. Yes. Yeah, nothing outside of what is usually provided, but drinks for sure. And, you know, of the variety things that are usually provided at the top for them.
Thank you, Irene. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move over to programming board. Paul?
All right, exciting stuff. Today is our second drop of tickets for the gala. So they're all now available. If you've not bought your tickets already, now is the time before they run out. If you want to see your friends there, make sure that your friends are buying tickets. Peer pressure the hell out of them. You can find the link and materials in the communique. You could also connect with me personally, and I will send you flyers, photos, link, everything else. Also, we are now collaborating with the Big Red Barn to do an event in early April once we come back from spring break. We're finalizing the exact date and details. I'll announce those as soon as possible, but we're basically going to be doing an event where if you buy a ticket, you can come to the barn, get a free mask, is our theme is masquerade all around the world. And you can decorate it with us, with your friends at the barn. It's gonna be really fun. So hope to see you all there.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions for programming? Andy?
Is it also on our social media?
It is absolutely also on the social media.
I hope you don't follow the Instagram.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Any other questions for Paul? All right. Seeing none, we'll move along to Faculty Advising, Teaching, and Mentorship Award Committee. Jason?
Hello, hello. As mentioned, the award ceremony is planned for April 30th. We have the committee meeting tomorrow where we will officially make sure all of the awardees are selected. So we'll be voting on that, and then plaques will be sent out, food will be ordered, Mary will be there. Mm-hmm. Lots of Mary and Joy. So yeah, but also people named Mary may or may not be there also. Completely unrelated.
All right, terrific. Thank you, Jason. Any questions for Fat Mac? Seeing none, we'll move to Diversity International Students Committee.
Nothing special. Like, still working on 40-year Federal Festival.
Good. Any questions for this? Seeing none, we'll move over to the graduate school. Top.
Hello, very good to see everyone. I had three items I wanted to mention briefly. The SPRs, student progress reports, are for doctoral students in years two and above. And I just wanted to remind everyone we are in that season. And we were just talking with the GPSA about this. It's something we've been talking about in general committee. And really, the SPR is a great opportunity, one of the key touchstones and touch points to engage with your advisor, to be checking in on how things are going. One of the things I often hear from graduate students is about the importance of getting constructive feedback on their work, how they're doing today, and really part of what the SPR is designed for. That is one of its key purposes. And so just making sure you're taking advantage of that opportunity to be checking in with faculty. Secondly, just as you know, admissions is going on. We've got students visiting campus. Various deadlines for PhD programs are all on April 15th. Others are more staggered in terms of timelines for responses, and so we are actively engaged in that. And thirdly, I wanted to mention that at the end of last week was the Cornell Board of Trustees meeting, and at the broader inclusive meeting on Friday, both Nick and Irene spoke and represented graduate and professional students extraordinarily well. So they did a fantastic job. So thank you both.
Thank you, Tao. Are there any questions for the graduate school? All right. Seeing none, at this time we can now move into our first presentation from Cornell Graduate Students United. I'm pleased to welcome to the you guys want to make your way to the front of the room, they'll have you slide. I'm pleased to welcome President Ava Nizalowska, Vice President Gabe Securities, Regional Lead Steward for Region 4 of the College of Engineering, Stefan Wagner, and Regional Lead Steward for Region 6, Bowser CIS, Max Fan. Thank you all for joining us. Great.
And the fun squad up here.
No, I think
everybody needs seats.
We've also got two more guests here with us today, Jenna Marvin, our campus head steward, and Evangeli Todori, our recording secretary. We are very grateful to have an opportunity to speak with you all today. Thanks especially to Nick for inviting us to speak to you all. So we are from CGSU UE Local 300, or Cornell Graduate Students United, which is the union representing graduate workers here at Cornell. Our aim is to advocate for the needs of graduate workers and improve our working conditions. We believe that graduate workers deserve to afford basic needs like healthcare and housing, and to do what we all came here to do, which is to be the best researchers and educators that we can be, and to contribute the scientific knowledge to benefit humanity. The cost of living in Ithaca has skyrocketed in the past year. How many of you are getting a rent increase in the coming year? Anyone? Yeah. So we've got too many of us living paycheck to paycheck, worrying about crossing the border when we return to the US, especially folks who are non-citizens like myself. or putting up with abusive PIs. We believe that graduate workers must come together to make sure our grad experience at Cornell is safe, secure, and affordable. And we've seen that when we come together, we can improve conditions for all of us. Like when we secured protections from unjust discipline and discharge, academic due process, dental and vision, insurance subsidies, and free TCAP passes for all in our first contract. So we also come together to hold Cornell accountable in this moment to defending higher education from the ongoing attacks by the Trump administration. By agreeing to a Trump deal in November, as I'm sure you all have heard, Cornell put the rights of non-citizen workers, trans workers, and really all other marginalized members of our community at risk. This also threatens our research integrity and research excellence at Cornell. It allowed the interests of billionaires like Elon Musk to dictate what we research and teach in our classrooms. All of us want to do the best research that we can, and our union is fighting to hold Cornell accountable so that it can remain a world-class leader in scientific research, and so that we can all do the work that will benefit humanity best without the risk of retaliation and defunding, which I know we have all in this room felt the pressures of. So as a little bit of history, we won our union election in November 2023. We ratified our first contract, which is currently in effect, in April 2025. And since then, our members have spoken in two elections for our local executive board, two elections for stewards, our union representative for grads who identify contract violations and hold Cornell to account to our contract, and a majority referendum on a statement in support of the people of Palestine in light of the ongoing genocide. Our union has put on town hall events to inform grads, such as the town hall on Cornell's deal with the Trump administration, community events such as a panel on trans rights for the ethnic community, solidarity events with other unions and organizations in town, and rallies and protests to bring awareness to important issues affecting not just grads, but working people across the country and the world. We're now under a year away from bargaining our second contract, which is part of the reason that we are here today. We want to hear from all grads across all three of our campuses, here in Ithaca, in New York City, and in Geneva. All of those voices are crucial. Each and every grad worker has a different experience here at Cornell, and we know that everyone will have their unique priorities on how to improve their experience, by expanding rights and protections, raising benefits, and increasing Cornell's accountability to all grad workers. So as we head towards our second contract fight, we want as much input as possible. And so we encourage grads to lend their voices to the process by filling out our bargaining survey. You can access the survey at my.cgsu.org. All grad workers have a profile in our database called Coyote, which Stefan helped build alongside Gabe and Max and others. We're going to collect responses over the coming months. If you have any questions about the union, this is, I think, the beginning of a beautiful relationship between GPSA and CGSU. We'll hopefully be back. But if you have any questions in the meantime, if you have questions about the issues we face with graduate workers, your own experiences, the bargaining process, the bargaining survey, or anything that you want to discuss with the union, you can contact us at communications@cgsu.org. To join our union, if you haven't already, then help fight for the rights of all grad workers at Cornell, you can go to join.cgsu.org to sign a membership card. And you can also join our contract action team. So as we launch our bargaining survey and begin collecting information on what grads need for our second contract, we are encouraging everyone to also get involved in the fight by joining our contract action team, or CAT for short. So if you are interested in doing some of that work and changing our material conditions here at Cornell and beyond, you can go to cat.cgsu.org. Thank you for your attention and solidarity forever. If you have any questions, we are here to answer.
Thank you so much. Open up the questions for CGSU. Andy?
Yes, what are the main points that you're wanting to expand upon with the second bargaining?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there are two answers to that question. The first is that the most important thing that is going to guide our priorities is what grads need, which is why we are launching a bargaining survey in advance to hear all about grads and what they need. We know that people across the university have different needs, different priorities. So we really want to get a sense of what grads want to see. And then collectively, we can all decide our priorities from there. I think there's a second part of that question, which is that there are certain things that are really foundational to our contract. Those include union shop, just cause, international worker protection, which are things that we already fought for in our first contract, but they're sort of the foundations of the contract that we are going to have to fight to preserve in order to make sure that our rights continue to be respected.
Thank you.
But it's really important that we hear from everybody about what they want to see, because it's the members run this union is our slogan, and it's really true. Our members are the people who have to decide what our plan is.
Other questions? I could ask one.
Yeah.
In addition to winning a contract for graduate student workers, CGSU UE also has a vast network of stewards. This is a new resource for a lot of graduate students. And so I'm curious if you want to discuss what's the role of the steward for a graduate student? At what point would you want to be in contact with your steward? And any other information you'd like to share about that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I'm actually going to maybe hand it over to Jenna, who is our head steward, meaning she is overseeing the vast steward network that we have.
Thank you. That's a really great question. And everyone should know this, because the person who every grad is going to come in contact with, probably like as a representative of CGSUUV, is their steward and their department. We have a network of, I think, 125 stewards. It was incredible across all campuses. So the steward in your department is the person who should be walking around doing office visits, coming around with a bargaining survey, asking people about it. Your steward in your department, you should know them. And we actually have a list on our website of every steward in every department, separated out by how we organize the campus. So 7 regions by discipline. So computer science, information science, engineering, arts and humanities, social sciences, etc. So there is a chart where you can see who your steward is. But I think a lot of grads, the vast majority of grads on this campus, actually already know who their steward is, because they're the person in the department who is making themselves visible, educating on what's in our contract, and also thinking about agitating people to fill out the survey and think about, okay, we have this great first contract, what can we win together in the second? So if you would like to know who your steward is, I'm happy to answer that question. But a lot of people already know who their stewards are, because they're frankly like a visible social linchpin in their department. They're educators, they're organizers, they're agitators, they are confidants, they're friends, they're friends. That's their role. I hope they answer.
Other questions?
I want to ask, like, I'm not quite sure, maybe I'm totally wrong, but if you are a worker on campus, like resident worker on campus, we might need to pay a specific percentage of our salary to the union. And where's that money goes? I mean, that is a huge amount of money, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so we operate on the principle that is enshrined in our contract, that everyone who benefits from our contract also contributes their fair share to the contract. This is, we believe, a really kind of foundational, the only fair way to have a contract that protects the rights of everyone is the way is everybody contributing fully. So this is something that, that provision is called union shop. It's actually something that was agreed to in our contract by between Cornell and our union. And what it enables us to do is have the resources to actually enforce our contract. There are many different elements of this, from legal resources, from having help from the national union, to things like being able to put on events, to actually cover the operation costs of running a union for 3,000 members. But the key point here is that everyone contributes, so everyone benefits. Everyone benefits from our contract by having the protections that we won and that we are fighting to enforce. And the only fair way of actually administering our contract and making sure that everyone is protected is by everybody contributing.
So can we see like where the money goes? Like, is there like a table saying, hey, maybe $10,000 go to a specific event or like a list or something we can look at?
Yeah, absolutely. So we cover that in whenever we vote on our budget. Again, everything in our union is done democratically. So we vote in our budget at general membership meetings, which is where we project that information. Grads get to actually review everywhere that our money goes, and but we decide by a majority vote that that will be our budget for the year. So if you are interested in getting more information about that, I would encourage you to attend the general membership meeting.
It seems like there was back to the previous question, a question of like transparency of funds, right? And how you guys utilize them. And you're talking about attending meetings and voting therein, but people are busy and aren't always able to attend. And I think this is something that we often consider in GPSA and the way that we record meetings and have them reflected for those that are not able to attend. So anyone who we aim to represent are able to see exactly what's going on. And so to that point, do you have somewhere that people can come and look to see exactly how your money is being used?
Yeah, absolutely. So our meetings, this is a really great point, and I think it's something that like we share with GPSA is a commitment to transparency, making sure that everybody gets the information that they need. All of our meetings are our general membership meetings are held monthly. They are on Zoom and in person so that people can attend electronically. And all members can always approach an elected representative to view the minutes from any meetings that were held. We also share those in our general membership meetings.
Any other questions? Andy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Anything that we vote on in a general membership meeting is sent to the membership 7 days in advance for copious review. If there's something that you know that you would like to vote on in a general membership meeting, you make sure that members know this is what's going to happen. You can review it and you can have your meeting and you can have your voice heard. So also part of the transparent democratic process.
Yeah.
Both time.
Deepa is our recording secretary.
I also want to mention that there's a question about the budget. The budget has actually been sent to all members who are on our email list. So that's, I believe it's, I don't know the exact numbers, but that budget is available. And another thing to mention is if you guys want specific minutes from like our leadership meetings and things like that, you can reach out to me to get those minutes because I'm the one that records all of them.
With respect to like spending money, we don't like, we have a very strict policy of what we call no perks, or they're laughing because I'm the one who's like we call this like we don't provide food at our meetings. We don't provide food as a, because we consider it to be a perk. We don't provide free things to our officers, and so like this is not something we're allowed because we have this principle of political open books like this, and so we don't. We consider this petty corruption, and so actually, not to accuse you guys of anything, but we're very like every single penny needs to go into the bike fund or into like representing a member. So we like even this is not would not be authorized in our meetings.
Yeah.
So hopefully that makes you feel better about where the money's going to.
So again, this kind of principle of the money that the union collects should be going to everybody, like benefiting everybody. Yeah. There's a question there.
Andy.
Yeah, I have a question about the union shop. My understanding, there were some graduate students that were in kind of this gray area, for example, like fellowship students, where they're not paid by the university for TAing or whatever.
Yeah.
Where do they stand currently? And is it something that you're going to kind of try to address in the second part of me to kind of envelop them into that contract?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great question. So currently, nationwide in private universities, fellows are not recognized as workers. This is due to a set of NLRB decisions. I won't go into the weeds, but essentially this is something that is a nationwide fight because we have always believed, and we share this with unions across the country, that fellows do the same work that RAs, TAs, GRAs do. If you work in a scientific lab here at Cornell, you probably have like a bunch of fellows and then RAs and GRAs in the same lab doing the same work. The only difference is the pay structure, but currently across the country, fellows are not extended the same benefits as people who are basically deemed to be in the category of grad workers, meaning they receive biweekly paychecks. We think this is unfair. And in fact, when we filed for union recognition way back in 2023, we actually asked Cornell to recognize fellows as workers voluntarily, which they're allowed to do, and they denied that. So this is something that is a nationwide fight that we share with many of our union siblings, because we don't think there should be any distinctions between fellows and people who are on an RA ship or GRA ship. We know that in practice that distinction doesn't really exist, and it's something that Cornell is using to basically say these people have just cause and all of these protections that our contract offers, whereas fellows don't. So it's certainly something that, you know, again, I can't speak to what the priorities of the second contract will be, because that is why we are collecting information in the bargaining survey. That's not something I can say in advance. I will say, however, that MIT GSU, for instance, is going to negotiations very soon in May. And one of the key priorities in their contract right now is fighting for fellows recognition, precisely because they are predominantly, you know, made up scientific labs where people are doing the same kinds of work as fellows, as their RAs are doing. And this is something that has been a major priority for them. Coming out of also the bargaining survey and the information that they collected about, you know, the priorities of grads, many, many people said we are fellows, we deserve to be recognized. And now that is a major part of their contract, right? So If that is something that we see overwhelming interest here or here, then that is certainly something that will become a priority, but that is exactly why we are collecting marketing survey responses.
Thank you. Irene?
Right. Back to the point of, you know, being part of the oppression, etc. I'm curious, apart from coming here and having us potentially gather students that could respond to this survey, how do you see collaboration between GPS and
Okay,
so actually this is something I was wanting to mention earlier, but we actually have an outreach committee that I'm the chair of. And this was an opportunity that we wanted to use to be able to collaborate with not just GPSA and Cornell, but also within the Ithaca community. So that was one thing that we hope that in the future that that'll be something that'll happen more often. But that was just something I wanted to plug because we're trying to look for opportunities to engage with Cornell further.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's we serve fundamentally different purposes, right? There's different levers of power. There's different constituencies and stuff. But I think all of us in this room care about the graduate workers of Cornell University and want to advocate on their behalf. So we do very different things, right? But it's all on behalf of graduate workers, and we see this partnership continuing. We were really grateful that Nick invited us and that you all let us come here. And so I think that this is something that we would like for this to be a reciprocal relationship. If there are things that you are trying to do that you feel that we could help with and vice versa, we all fundamentally care about the same thing, which is improving conditions for graduate workers at Cornell. And the ways we go about that are totally different, right? You're an elected body. We are elected officers of a labor union. It's a totally different thing. But where there's overlap and where there's things that issues that you recognize that we can help with and vice versa, we'd like to maintain this relationship as best possible. There's a reason that a bunch of us from our e-board is here, because we're all really excited to actually get to meet all of you and get to kind of start a relationship.
Andy?
I'm kind of a selfish vice president of comms question. All of the assembling bodies are having a really hard time with outreach. Now, notice that you guys send out kind of similar to our communique. You have your own little newsletter that you send out in the email. I was wondering if you're aware of your click rate or your reading.
Great question. Not off the top of my head. Unfortunately, our communications secretary, who is in charge of putting together the wonderful newsletter, is not here. But maybe I can put you in touch with her, and you can talk offline and get some tips or exchange comms advice.
I can say we kept doing the newsletter because the click rate's really, really good on it. So it surprised all of us. But it's
long, but people read it.
Yeah.
We can find you in touch though. Yeah.
Any last questions for our guests? Eugene?
I do know several people who are not part of the CGSU. And I know that a lot of your meetings are only open to members. So I'm wondering, when you decide on priorities, such as economic priorities, how do you make sure that everyone's voices are recognized, not just people who then come to your general membership meetings?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We really do strive to be as inclusive as possible and make sure that everybody's voices are heard across campus. So the bargaining survey is open to everybody, not just people who come to the general membership meeting. You can fill it out asynchronously, so no need to actually come to a meeting if you don't have time and recognize that people have different, priorities. That said, specifically being a member of CGSU is something that we consider essential to being able to participate in the decision making of the union. This is why we encourage everybody to become a member. As was highlighted previously, thanks to our union shop clause, everyone is already paying the same amount into contract enforcement by virtue of being a graduate worker. It's just people's choice whether to become a member or not, and the only difference there is not, there's no monetary difference. The difference is, are you getting the newsletter? Are you getting the, are you able to attend general membership meetings, fill out our surveys, etc. So that is something that we encourage because we want everybody who wants to, their voice heard, to become a member and join our democratic collective. And that is how democracy essentially works, is you become a member and then everyone's voices get recognized equally. So whenever we go around on office visits, we always encourage people to sign your membership card. The majority of grad workers at Cornell are members. So that is one of the sort of we don't do any perks such as food, but what's all the perks of being a member are essentially attending the membership meetings, being able to run an election, being able to fill out the bargaining survey. All of those things are things that come with joining. Does that answer your question?
Okay. So for non-members, the only thing you have concretely mentioned is the ability to fill in the bargaining form?
No, so non-members currently, we encourage everybody to sign a membership card so that they can fill out the bargaining survey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So non-members are covered by our contract.
Yes.
What we talk about with union shop, but everyone pays their fair share into enforcement. If you're on a membership card or not, you are protected by that contract. And if a contract violation happens to you, a steward will come to you and they will help you fight for now, predictably. So everyone is covered by the contract. The perks of membership are being able to actually participate in clients. So no one is shut out from the contract, but if you would like to be on the newsletter, to come to general membership meetings, to fill out the bargaining survey, to participate in that union democracy that Ava is talking about, that does require to sign a membership card.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
All right. I think we have time for one last question. Claire?
Could you just talk a little bit more about the grievance process? Because that's what I
was Right.
Yeah. Anything specific?
Just like what it is.
Yeah.
What kind of, you talk about protections. How do we enable those protections? How are stewards used? What are
the yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Which violation should I choose? 2 minutes. Okay. So our contract, I highly encourage everybody to read it, and I highly encourage everyone to talk to a steward in their department or their area about what is in the contract, sort of distill down. You know, our contract applies to everybody at Tech Geneva and the Ithaca campus. So figuring out like what are the common issues in your department, your steward can really distill some of that for you. So for instance, if you are a victim of or notice a contract violation, so TA workload is a huge problem, GRA work also a huge problem. If you are working more than you should, which is 15 hours average, 20 hours a week, or 20 hours max in a single week in our contract, you go to your steward and you say, look, I have this problem, tell you about it. So you sit down with your steward, maybe a couple stewards, we like to move in packs, but solidarity. And so the contract violation is identified, we do a thorough investigation, and then there's three optional four-step process through actually filing a grievance with the supervisor directly responsible for the contract violation. And then if that meeting doesn't go the way that we want, with the remedy that we want, which is usually relief, right, from the extra work, relief from like the amount of tasks that you're actually doing, goes up to another step, which might be the person above the direct supervisor, maybe the department chair. So it's outlined in Article 5 of our contract. A steward can definitely walk you through that process, but that is essentially how we fight contract violations, just meeting the boss across the table, stewards, and Cornell admin or faculty responsible for the contract violation. Good question.
Thank you. I want to take a moment to thank our guests today. Thank you so much for coming, and we hope it's the beginning of a very fruitful relationship. Thank you.
Thank you.
But have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
All right. And with that, we'll move into our second presentation this evening, updating appendices A and B, EPSA by Team Seth, Vice President of Finance. Please.
Good evening.
That's very exciting topics, maybe, but it's time to update the appendix A and B that go with the GPSA charter. That is one of our guiding documents. And what the appendix A and B do is they give us really direct guidelines how the funds come into GPSA and how they technically go out to all those byline organizations, which here I mean technically every recipient of the grants in the between that gets more than 50% for graduate students. So GPSA itself is receiving byline funding, GPSA FC is receiving byline funding, and technically every bigger group or organization on campus, like Big Red Barn, for example. So after every updated byline allocation, it's also kind of updated those appendices to renew the rules a little bit, and also to update the expectations we have for the byline organizations. And it hasn't really been updated too much in the last 5 years, 10 years. There were some quick updates in the last meeting last year, which was pretty hectic. We're doing better this time. So just a couple of things to point out. They're not all red in this document for some reason, but if you have a GPSA box file, you can see all the reds. But just going through them quickly, one of them is that removing the words final and primary application, as it seems to be too much work to do two rounds of applications, and that I don't think it's being done. So I think it's better to go forward in compliance and just do like one round of application every 2 years. That will also make the work efficient. Then what's also taken out from the old appendix B is not the contract, but the agreement that we had with Cornell Cinema that was kind of like an off-ramp for them, and that's the reason why we went down with their allocation last year, but now it's over in the next filing cycle, they can ask for a bigger allocation again. That's been removed. Something to point out is in Appendix B, lines 196, what I have been looking to change is the criteria for organization to apply. And on 196 in Appendix B, we see that what I have drafted out as a sketch here is that before it used to be that every organization that wants to apply for bylaw funding should collect 10% of the graduate student body signatures to show their relevance in some sense. But I couldn't find any record of this being done. And even the existing bylaw organization haven't done that. So I decided to change that to provide evidence of engaging with more than 5% of the graduate and professional student community on campus, which is a good thing for us to ask for more evidence to get a better idea. What is the level of engagement? Which is a good metric for us. And besides that, there's one more change, which is removing the International Student Association and substituting this with the International Graduate and Professional Student Organization, IGPS. And this is in the appendix, the line 546. And this is in red, but for some reason. it should be. And here are some of their requirements we see that GPSA should expect from the IGPS. And I think they're in a really good place. And I guess what I want to show here is that like we expect them to, not officially to like what they do right now is they do more than 15 events per academic year, but the appropriations committee and the IGPS agreed that our baseline expectations for them should be to at least have 4 events per semester with more than 150 students participating, which is a good start, I think, for a new bylaw organization. That's all for me. Thank you.
So the byline revisions for appendices A and B will be voted on at the next meeting, but at this time we can take any questions or comments on the proposed revisions for team.
As you mentioned, I have the benefit of being able to look at the box to see exactly, what you changed in favor of something else, one of which you said was on appendix B, line 199. Where previously it was have mentions with signatures of 10% of the graduate and professional students to now evidence of engaging with more than 5%. Could you talk more about why you made that change?
Yes. For sure. I think this is a good change to kind of open up the byline process a little bit more. I think it's kind of becoming a little bit stagnating over the last few years, and that there hasn't been any changes as far as I can see of education. And so that's why it's also so happy to have IGPS on board to kind of freshen up this lister. But I just was thinking that first of all, number one reason is compliance, because you know nobody's really providing the 10% of signatures. And I think this would be kind of crazy to ask for being Red Barn to kind of sign everybody at the door, at least that'd be a way to get more than 1,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's not worth the effort in that sense. But I think that showing the evidence is something that it's easier for organizations to do. And I think it's also like lowers the bar a little bit and like maybe has more applicants that want to apply for Brighton funding, and not necessarily be that we automatically accept them, but I think it's good to have like less barriers in there. One would like to look into that, yeah. I think there are a couple of organizations still out there that you should think about applying for Brighton funding. Yeah. I don't want to close that door that night.
I could get clarification, seeing kind of along the lines of Irene's question. So one, I believe it's line, 197 lays out 5% for independent organizations, where line 202 indicates 10% for university organizations.
It's typo.
Are they meant to be 5? They're both meant to be 5.
Yeah. Oh. It's just checking if you're reading it.
All right.
Yeah, I'll fix that.
Great. All right. Yeah. And if I could also add on to that, part of our hard work in paring down the byline kind of line item this past year is so that we can make serious plans and decisions for how we might want to expand byline funding in future years. Because we did the cut work this year, and so hopefully in 2 years we'll have a number of organizations lined up for consideration for future byline funding. Any other questions regarding appendices A and B proposed revisions? Oh, Irene.
Yes. So again, with Appendix B, you made an edit on line 327 down to, I think it was like 33, which is now much different. In regards to advertisement of this organization that we are funding, and you said at minimum their events should be on campus groups. But I think previously it had a mention of like combining graduate professional student assembly in some of the advertising effort. I think adding something revolving the communique could be useful.
Yeah, I guess that is where we need to kind of see what kind of resources does the communique have. I don't know. It's, yeah.
Are you just sending out just like
everybody put on the communique?
Well, this is in regards to, if I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is this only for groups that we're funding or for bylines?
It's only for bylines. And
right.
My main reason for this edit was to remove the requirements to use those listservs. I think this is like a historical thing that people used to use.
Okay.
I think, yeah, this is just for like the campus groups and like, general campus groups is available. It works. Right. How does the listserv system work? To be honest, I thought it did work.
Oops. Are you suggesting like something like the special grants kind of thing, like a seal logo, like something just like, hey, you're word byline, you can this.
Sure, but I was thinking more so in regards to, it says at minimum organizations will advertise their events on campus groups, right? But I was just thinking campus groups, sure, but would also submit their flyer, etc. to the communique, right? Would just be an additional obligation that they have, right?
The communique can handle that?
Yeah. Is it every single event? So if the Big Red Barn has hundreds?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our Instagram.
Yeah.
Or we can leave. I'm happy to do whatever.
I see an option where communicate could try to pull information from campus groups and like do a little section of like about events happening with byline
administration.
Yeah.
Yeah, the byline send it to me anyway, like IGPS.
Right. Okay. Right. That's what I was saying. So just like having that, especially so given that they're a byline, I think would be a fair obligation for them to fulfill.
Paul. If we wanted to
reconcile the two viewpoints here. There was a document form that we link in the communique so that it doesn't take up space in the communique. You just say, see our violent funded organization events here. And those violent organization events can just plug their stuff in there in a very simple form cell thing. I don't know, we're done. I don't know.
Yeah,
probably not
anything. An Excel sheet? Is what you're saying? You would be linking to an Excel sheet?
Set up a Google form and then link it to an Excel sheet, okay. And then you have like three questions in the Google form.
Dialogue about just off the book.
Off the record.
Yeah, I just have one statement.
Okay.
You said that a lot of violent organizations already said you stopped. So like, what is the necessity in requiring them to do so if they're already kind of taking that step to be like, hey, you give us a lot of money. Here's the thing. I love your idea. I'm just thinking like, the requirement seems like maybe not necessary.
For now,
okay.
About the future,
yeah. You worth about
down the road,
or we can just add it to there.
Right, if it's already being done,
and it does it make more work for you in a way?
If each person spends $2 on these events, then I feel like they should be promoted.
Let's circle back to the discussion after books on the requirement for publicizing events over the communique for byline funded organizations. Are there any other points of discussion for the appendices A and B revisions as currently written?
I will just note, just to state, if you have any suggestions that you will think about in the future, you can also send them to Scene, and he may or may not incorporate them. Probably, but just in case.
All right.
Okay.
I just want to note, for the sake of my own board, I'm not a committee, I'm a board, that there is a difference between the Cornell University Programming Board and the GPSA Programming Board, which even the executive board got tripped up on looking at the revisions. So as you go through the revisions over the next couple weeks, keep that in mind.
So they're right in the
They're correct in the appendix.
Okay.
This is not a comment on the content's just a comment to be aware.
All right. Great. Thank you, Paul. Seeing no further points of discussion on these revisions, I'm going to move to close discussion and we move on to the third presentation of the evening. At this time, I will invite Executive Vice President Anna Ferber to the front of the room to discuss a review of election process and timeline for the spring 2026 election cycle.
Yay!
I'm confetti. So excited. Pull the cord,
balloons. I was expecting pot confetti.
I'm never going to let this thing go by. This is going to be forever.
I love the presentation like out there.
I'm here for you.
It's a lot. Okay. So,
all right, Jennifer, whenever you're ready.
Hi, my name is Amber. I'm the Executive Vice President, and I am also the Election Committee Chairperson now. And this is going to be how the election is going to work this year. So we're really excited. Okay. So what positions are going to fill? Right, we're positioned the Executive Committee as well as every voting member, except those who are like voted by their schools, right? The MBA, the vet students, those have their own election timelines, but. For the rest of us, this is what it's gonna look like. So, that's a little check. So the executive committee, as you guys know, is president, the EVP, the vice president of operations, the vice president of communication, the vice president of finance. The only person who's not getting reelected this semester is the finance commission chairperson, which is Claire. But everybody else is going up for elections this semester. Plus Padma is student advocacy. As well, and this is what it looks like right now. So if you guys have any questions and want to know like what our jobs look like on an everyday basis, feel free to ask any questions to all of us. We're here to serve you guys, so you guys can ask us any questions. Continue off. Voting members, as we have discussed, is everybody who is not within the executive committee but are voting around GPSA. So that includes like the master at large, oh, that has it twice, the master publication representative, the master engineer representative, the Master of Industrial and Labor Relationships, the Arts and Humanities representatives, the Biology Science representatives, the Physical Science representatives, and the Social Science representatives. And some positions have more space, more seats than others, so it's important to note that. Also, let any of your friends know. If you're like, you will be great at GPSA, let them know that there might be a position open up for them and let them run. Overall, this is the most important part, is that all the elections take place in April. So as you can see, the beginning of April, we're at spring break. And then right after spring break, as I've been mentioned, we're jumping straight into election timelines. So we're starting with like a solicitation of candidates start, where we're gonna have the informational meetings. So you will have meetings in Zoom where you can ask me any questions about any positions, and I'll talk to you about them, as well as you're just curious of what the structure of GPSA is, or if you have a friend who wants to know a little more, feel free to join those meetings. And that solicitation period will go from the 6th to the 13th, and it will end at 6:30 p.m. Then we're going to signature collection, and I'll speak a little bit more about it on the next slide about the signature collection period. But that overall will go from the Tuesday, the 14th, all the way to the 20th on Monday. And then because we're hoping to have such a successful town hall on the 25th with all our exec board, we're doing a town hall for our exec nominee positions, so you get to know a little bit more about who the people who are running for exec is. After all, we do represent and we do get paid for this role, so we really want to make sure that you get to know them well and ask them any questions. And then everybody goes into voting day, which starts for 3 days, which is on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then the results will be announced from the last GPSA meeting, which, if you didn't know, is the Monday, the 27th. And of course, like, this might, some things might change tentatively, but this is the main structure of it all. And what is new with this election? So we did a combination of things that happened in the last past election, plus a couple things getting from feedback from this for this new election. So the info sessions happened last year, but we're gonna cut them a little smaller because they used to be 10, and now we're gonna be like 2 to 3 because not that many people attended the info sessions. As well as, of course, you'll got links where you can just read on online what exactly each position is. The petition's changing. It used to be 50 signatures for everybody, but now it's being just the president and the EVP are doing 50 signatures. The committee chairs within exec are doing 25 signatures, and the voting members are not doing any signatures this year. You're just going through regular elections. And for platforms updates, this is what happened last year too. People will initially write like why they're running for this position, and once they fill up the signatures, they may be able to change their statements if they want to add new stuff or change stuff as a desire. And for the candidate town hall, this will be for the people who after the signatures are submitted and we're able to make them candidates, and it will just give them an extra opportunity to get to know them a little better and to like get to talk to them. And Irene and I are working on it, and it'll be at the paper one. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this is my election committee. If you have any questions, please take photos of all our emails. I hope you ask questions as many as possible. Yes, please, thank you. Yes, thank you. Any questions, feel free to reach out to me or ask me any questions.
Questions for Annabeth?
Yes,
I agree. Exactly. How many town halls are there going to be in relation to the?
Just one. Yeah.
Just one. And when is that?
I don't know how to memorize. It's on the Tuesday after the signatures.
Okay.
This is also in the box, so you can refer back to the calendar and see it.
Yeah. Any extraordinary measures you're planning to take to increase graduate student engagement and voting numbers? I guess they haven't been like super high last year.
Yes, definitely. I mean, other than like making sure to like, I personally am presenting to my school the election, and I'm also making a presentation for my committee to present to their schools, as well as we're working the same resources that the gala is having, putting it on the TVs and all of that, as well as since we have a town hall on the 25th, I'm hoping my exec team will promote the election coming up, and I'm hoping all of you will tell everybody too.
How do you suggest that voting members let it be known to their constituents about the election that's coming up? The group chat and email?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that you guys really enjoy your time here at GPSA, such as I did, and you want to talk to first years, second years of your programs who might want to take further steps into being more of a leader here at Cornell. And of course, if you guys are interested in any kind of source, like me giving a presentation in your class, I'm more than willing to go and get up to there. If you want to present in your class, feel free to too. I think this is like an overall mission for all of us to make sure that our GPSA has as many people from different diversity backgrounds. And I think it's a mission collaboratively.
Thank you.
Yes, you
do. Do you have any materials that you might want to see shared out to specific departments? I know one challenge is filling seats in a lot of different fields across departments. So is there any like material that you would want shared out that we can all take back and
like a
email
flyer.
Blurb, something to this effect?
Like a flyer? What are you referring to?
Like specific text that you would want sent out to each field notifying them of, hi, there's this many field positions.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely working on that, making sure there's like flyers, but I definitely like the idea of making one specific one for different fields, especially like, for example, we have so many seats, but like we want to make sure that those seats are filled with the right people. So making sure that we send them to the right schools, yeah.
Other questions for Annika? All right, give our presenter Annika. All right, we're now rounding out the end of our meeting. Seeing no business, we'll move into open forum. Are there any points for discussion today?
Just an announcement to make. I don't know if we'll still discuss about it, but I'm super happy to say that the first event, one of the first events that GPSA funded through the special grants happened this weekend. It was the Graduate Student Veterans Association and the Baby Brigade, and it went really well. A lot of turnout we saw there. And had a couple of numbers from this event, that more than 180 families served with more than 286 kids.
Oh, wow.
And they were able to give away more than $65,000 in diapers, wipes, baby gear, and resources. I guess this was partially GPSA funds and also like other donations they got through the collaborators. And yeah, so I guess the collaboration was more than 80 organizations and partners together. And they had more than 30 volunteers from the Graduate Student Veterans Association, the ROTC, and Johnson Veterans Association, and Law School Veterans Associations, partners, families, kids, and beyond. And it was carried out to people for more than 20 different zip codes. Yeah, so
I think that deserves a round of applause. That's so grand. Just keep doing
amazing. It's just such a great impact with such a small thing that just we came out a couple of months ago. Yeah.
Amazing. Any other points for open forum today?
I'm happy to speak. So as
I was like,
please, no, I want to.
I'll keep it brief. So as Annika mentioned, there is an elections committee that has debated and discussed at length the way that the election will be held. But I think the most important part is understanding that it is all our duty to help the GPSA thrive and prosper, not just now, as we all have done, but in the future. So whether that's getting your colleagues interested, running yourself again for another term if you're not defending or graduating, anything that you can do to help keep the GPSA alive and full of people invested in making a difference at Cornell, I think that is incredibly worthwhile.
Well said.
I'm from the Animal Science Grad Student Organization, and one thing I wanted to ask or put on the table is that what we've been encountering with our events is that there's a very big time lag of putting in a request for funds and actually getting the funds back. That sometimes it took over like a half a year almost, or something like that. We are now really noticing that people are very reluctant to give their own money if they know it's going to take so incredibly long for their money to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could I just ask a follow-up? Is this money through campus groups specifically?
Yes.
Okay. Not related to special grant funding.
No.
I see. Noted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, it is a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of reluctance also from other organizations. And I guess maybe that's something that GPHA should take up to, because as we are also paying for the gap group services,
mm-hmm.
I think it's $10,000 per year or 30.
It's the number we pay. They're essentially a contractor, and maybe the contractor needs to do a little more contract. So yeah, the point is well heard. This is something that we're very concerned about, and I think right around the time special grants kicked up, we kind of paused on that, but it's something that I think we need to come back to. Thank you for bringing that up.
So maybe this wasn't very clear, but which party is responsible for the slowness? Like, is it from GPS SA side or like some other side?
So I can say, actually, the slowness, do you want to speak on that, Steve? Just generally for club funding?
I think it's just campus groups, say.
I see.
I think it's just, I think it's also staffing things that are just like having, they have a ton of things to request. And especially if you do it, let's say in May, everybody's trying to get their funding out the door, then you're going to be in a list of like 600 other people. And I believe maybe what you're doing is like maybe an I want doc, which is what I've done in the past, these different forms, right? If there's a problem, you don't have the right receipt, you have to go back and forth, then you're down at the bottom of the list. But that doesn't mean that it can't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear you, because I have been that person that's waited 6 months. But I have the privilege of not having to worry about it at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but there's not everybody who has that privilege to be able to wait. So, heard, we will try our best. Even if it's not us managing the money right here and doing it, there's probably something we can do about it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you definitely have people yell at, but whether or not it is.
But I love to. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, I think in the coming year, especially as we kind of think about well, right now, even like appendices A and B revision, there may be some room to tweak our timelines so that maybe we can work more cohesively with campus groups wherever they are at, even if it's painfully slow at the moment.
Yeah.
Any other points for open discussions? 21? 25? Any motion? Irene?
Motion to adjourn.
Then a motion to adjourn. Second from Claire, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Enjoy the first time of the day.
That was
it was like snowing high vision.